A very good morning, Tanya Curry. You must be exhausted after this week.
How would I need a holiday so badly?
I know. It's been a week and emotional and in between all of this, Megan names her child Archie.
What is wrong with these people, guys?
I don't know.
Archie. I mean, of all the names you could have chosen, Archie, really?
Well, it turns
out... Isn't it a British name?
No.
It's an American name, isn't it?
Well, remember there was that old horrible series about Archie Bunker. Then there's the Archie comics. And Archie's
I know the Archie comics, and I've seen some exceptional memes making it up.
I know. As somebody said, well, as soon as they announced the name, they said, let the memes begin. But it turns out I found an article on the Daily Mail this morning that says that Meghan had a cat called Archie and she was particularly close to this cat.
Oh my word. You gotta be kidding me, Howard.
Well, it came from the Daily Mail, unless they are having us on.
Well, yeah, it is the Daily Mail.
Exactly.
But like, so
I love this.
I really like my dog Asia. Does that mean that it's not right. It's not right
to anyway. No, absolutely. I can't imagine what, in fact, we were broadcasting live yesterday, from King David Victory Park, and I was interviewing, the heads of schools, and I said to them, as professional educators, what would you advise young parents about calling their child Archie? And they just said, don't do it. Just don't do it.
Don't it? But I mean, it's not even Archie. It's, what is it? Archie Harrison. Mountbatten Windsor.
Yes, yes.
That poor kid.
But if you rearrange it, you can get Wham. So the whole thing is just absurd. It is absolutely absurd.
So funny. We've got to find something to cheer us up.
Well,
good heavens, Wham it is. I'm in.
That's exactly. Well, the other thing, of course, that always can cheer us up, and I'm definitely going to use it as part of my motivational talks, that if Claudie can be positive after these elections, then each and every one of us has no reason not to be.
Our social media has been hysterical about the BLF. Their slogan was land or death. You're saying this morning, well, I guess death it is.
Oh, I love that. The BLF.
People are saying, I've got more followers than Claudia on my Twitter profile.
Oh, that's terrible.
Does that mean I should be running for president?
That's terrible. I didn't even think of that. Oh, my word.
Oh, it's so funny. I think we both have more followers, you and
yeah,
I.
Yeah, jeez. Certainly on Facebook. Jeez, that's terrible. I'm so embarrassed.
Well, social media will tear you up, that's for sure. But the BLF made such an impact. I mean, if you look at the charts today, the BLF come in as third, but that's because we're laughing at them.
Yeah, I would imagine. But he's, of course, blaming the media. He's blaming everybody.
Of course he is.
It's just unbelievable. It is quite incredible.
It's funny. And I want to talk about this double voting story. I'm confused. Like, I don't understand. Like, when I went to vote, I don't know if you had the same experience, but when I went to vote, I got a little sticker. Well, not a sticker, like a voucher.
Yes, like a little printout.
Yeah. And then I went to vote and then that was done. So now are you telling me that these people who double voted use different ID numbers?
Well, you see,
that's a hell of a, you had to work very hard to get that double vote. It means you'd have to register that false ID first.
I'm not buying into any of this. First of all, anybody that, what was it, Sinead, they soak their hands in Domestos or something?
Yes, Domestos, yes.
You know, to get rid of this. I mean, which is a very good advert for Domestos. Honestly, if you want to go through that effort, well, then by all means vote twice. You know what? Just go and vote. If you want to stand in the lines, twice, I mean, is any political party worth it? I'm not so sure.
Well, I think there were probably, I mean, if there were, they reckon that it's up to 18,000, double voted. So anyway, the DA calling for an audit.
You know what?
The domestic I think it's a point of hysteria.
Perfectly understandable, Tonya. There's actually nothing unreasonable about this. It's just been one of those weeks. And
look, it's been crazy.
The one thing I don't understand, and I'm going to ask our experts when they come in a little bit later as well, is how the only, you know, if we look at, let's say, the final results, the ANC maybe would have dropped 5 or 6%, 5% maximum, maybe, in total voter support. How did the last 5 years only cost the ANC 5%?
Well, I'll tell you what it did do is it cost the youth. Apparently only half the youth turned up to vote.
You see, I think that's a big
tragedy.
Factor. Because it means that they had no one to, no one inspired them.
Well, you know, Howard, no one inspired me.
I feel the same, absolutely. In fact, and that was one of my biggest complaints the whole way through, is that we had nobody to inspire us.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I sat with my friend Sonia and we, and on the morning of the vote, and we started reading the manifestos, and we were both astonished at how few political parties firstly put out their manifestos on their websites. You had to go and really dig for them. And then when we read them, we were like, I don't think you're going to get that right, my friend, and moved on, you know?
So
I think what the youth did was what most of South Africa felt was we didn't really have good choices in this election.
No.
You know, vote for the ANC. If you're going to vote for Cyril Ramaphosa, then fine. But we all know that the top six are not Ramaphosa-friendly fire. So what's going to happen after that? And then the DA didn't speak. It certainly didn't speak to me as a woman in a mixed, so-called mixed marriage, married to a Palestinian. They certainly didn't speak to me.
But that's actually interesting.
Which they didn't care about very much either.
So it's actually interesting. We did an analysis on that on Wednesday. And what our analyst Wayne Sussman did was he looked at a predominantly Jewish area and a predominantly Muslim area. So one area in the Cape and one area, in this neck of the woods. And he looked at how foreign policy influenced the vote, and it didn't really, which was quite, so that was quite a surprising find. But the problem is, and I think it's what you're saying, is I think the DA's major mistake is that nobody feels that the party spoke to them. So they try to be everything to everybody, but that meant they were not necessarily anything to anybody. And I did vote DA.
Exactly.
That was the decision that I came to, that was the right place for me to be putting my vote. But I don't think necessarily that they spoke specifically to any group of people, and I think that was their mistake. Whereas if you look at the EFF, it's very, very clear, like them or hate them, they're very clear who they're talking to. So I think
exactly, and it wasn't me, so I couldn't vote for the EFF either. So for the first time in my life, I split my vote.
Right.
I voted for the UDM. I voted for Bantu Halamisa because
he's wonderful,
the good
he's superb.
Done in the past couple of months.
Absolutely.
Look, Bantu Halamisa has been sleeping for 5 years. So,
yes.
You know,
yes.
And that's the other, that was the concern for me as a voter is, look, you've done all the right things. You've said all the right things. Your manifesto is amazing. But where have you been for 5 years?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, and then for the provincial, I voted ANC because I just can't put my cross next to the DA with good conscience. So if I was perplexed, what on earth must the youth be feeling? So,
and you're involved in this. You're following this every single day, every single week. So you're involved in it. You're much more knowledgeable about most, than most people,
than most South
Africans.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the biggest, the most relevant number in this whole election is the voter turnout.
Yep, I agree with you. And you know, they say they've counted 75% of the votes, and that accounts for like 12 million. Where's the rest of South Africa?
Yeah.
How many people are there in South Africa? Isn't it 40 or 50 million?
Yeah, look, I don't know what numbers, we'll find out a little bit later. We'll get all of those details. But to me, it is a concern. I just didn't, I think the voter numbers are, that's, I think, the biggest issue. What does social media say? I mean, by the end of
this
week.
Well, social media is certainly behind the ANC. 40% of the conversation belonging to the ANC over the past 24 to 48 hours. So we've taken the election period and analyzed it, just as we went to vote and post the vote. And you know what was astonishing to me, Howard, is how many people weren't scared to say who they voted for. You know, if you have a look at the big themes coming out of the data, I vote ANC, I vote EFF, or vote EFF, or vote ANC are huge when it comes to the hashtags out there. So people are not afraid to share who they have voted for, and I haven't seen that before in an election.
No, I think it is interesting. Although I was listening on election day, I was flipping through all of the radio channels just to hear if there was anything you know, that we hadn't covered. I always like to listen, and one of the stations, the presenter said, "I'm not telling you who I voted for because I don't trust you." I mean, he said to his listeners, which I thought was a bit sharp, but all right. And he said, and he said, because you'll hold it against me. We haven't reached that level of maturity in South Africa. But to some extent, I think we might have. I think we actually might have. And I can tell you that because I was so uncertain and I went through a process, I wrote an article taking people through my process, which was just my own. Obviously, I'm not telling people that they have to vote, and I ended it by saying it doesn't matter, just go and vote. I'm not trying to convince you, but this was my journey, and I think that people appreciated it because we all felt the same to a large extent, or many of us felt the same. Yeah.
And there were, I mean, how long was that ballot paper?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
How many parties were on there? 50, 48, 48 parties on there? Yeah. And I took a moment when I was voting and I just went through all the names and I thought, how many of these haven't I even heard of? You know, I'm the one doing election studies and I hadn't heard of a lot of them on that ballot paper. Where do they get the money from is the question.
Well, a lot of them will be losing the deposit. Certainly, you know, I think the Capitalist Party, we had them in studio. They were very active for a very short while on social media, but they didn't. I think they got something like 9,000 votes or something like that.
That's right. You know, and it's sad. It's sad because they definitely did a great ground campaign. You know, like every time I saw someone at the robots who'd been employed by the Purple Cow Party, it made me happy.
Right.
But when you went to have a look at their manifesto, you thought, okay, well, I don't know if I can put those people in charge of an entire country.
Right.
And that's the other thing, Howard. You know, we look at all these new parties that have come through. It's not easy to run a country. We've seen that. And, you know, maybe the DA and the ANC have a chance at running it. I don't even think the EFF have a chance to understand how to run a country. And now you want to put some little guy in charge. I think it'll be chaos.
The only thing that I keep thinking about the smaller parties is that some of them are an important voice just to have in parliament to be able to stand up and say, you know, here's a different perspective, because I think we're so tired of the same rhetoric in parliament that I was kind of hoping that some of the smaller parties would make it in just because it's good to have alternate voices.
I was hoping that the smaller parties would make an impact, but it looks like they didn't.
No.
From what the voting is saying. But Ramaphosa, if we look at the stats, just back to the stats, 51% of the conversation revolved around Ramaphosa. He is certainly the reason why the ANC came to victory. Well, and we're still waiting for the rest of the vote, but it looks very likely that they're going to win the majority.
Right, sure.
But Ramaphosa is the calling card. And everybody's put their faith in one man, which is a concern, but we pray that he does good.
Yeah, it was interesting is that Gwede Mantashe came out with that statement, I think it was today, saying that, in fact, it's not, they will not recall him, and it's not, it's absolute nonsense, which was good to hear, because that certainly made me nervous, is what happens after this election. I mean, can you imagine if we had, one of the Zuma cronies, as leader of the party, it really would be quite literally lights out. Tanya, we were talking, lots and lots of messages. First of all, before we even go on to that, Ramadan Karim, how is it going? How's the fasting going?
Thank you. Thank you. It's good, Howard. It's good. I've tried to do as many good deeds as possible. I just need a holiday.
Well, yeah, because I mean, this is, you've got to get through the day without coffee as well, which can't be easy.
You know, for me, Ramadan is quite a lonely time because I don't live in a Muslim community.
Right.
So, I'm on my own most of the time.
That must be very difficult.
So,
yeah.
So, it doesn't have the big impact it has when you are in a Muslim community. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad time. It's a good time. But, I think if I was living in a Muslim place,
yes,
or a Muslim country, I think it's a very different experience. Like, I look at the beautiful images coming out from across the world, and I do feel a little bit jealous, I must say.
Yeah, because there's also an incredible sensitivity to it. I remember I think it was in Dubai, during Ramadan, and even the hotels, obviously people that aren't Muslim, eat during the day, but like they would make sure that those restaurants weren't in your face. They were in a room versus, and so there was an incredible sensitivity to it, which also I think makes a big difference.
I miss out on is iftar, the yes, great celebration after a day of fasting.
Right.
You know, that's the bit that I would love to experience, and one day, inshallah, one
right
day.
Okay, brilliant. Well, I hope so, and I hope it goes well. What else are we seeing? What else are we seeing on social media with regard to the elections?
So, I mean, the elections, we're electioned out. I mean, the votes definitely reflect what social media said, but there's a whole bunch of other stories that didn't make charts and probably should have. Caster Semenya, let's talk about Caster Semenya for a minute. Mm. She's allowed to run with men. I mean, how much worse can the IAAF get?
And they actually need to employ a media person. Like, what are they doing?
I mean, honestly. So, I mean, Caster says she's still going to fight it, but I mean, it's just disgusting. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing her run against men. I hope she beats
her. I actually was thinking that. And then I thought, well, is it wrong? But I really was thinking, well, what happens? I mean, then what would they say?
Then what would you say, guys? You say?
I was kind of hoping she would, but it's a risk. Like, I'm a bit scared.
But it's not right. And the IAAF really need to, they need to take a hard look in the mirror. Another thing, I still can't work out this story, and maybe you can shed some light, is the Babes with Dumu story. She's back with Mampicha. Is that true?
I haven't been following this at all. So involved with all the other stories, but I can't believe it. Please tell me that's not true.
Yeah, it seems they've released a song and a video.
No rubbish.
And referencing what Mambinja said in the video when he was basically physically abusing her. So it's just, I don't know, it's very disappointing.
Very.
Do you think it was contrived then? I mean, DJ Tira has come back now. So, and he said he'd cut all ties with Mampincha. So was it all a ruse? It didn't look like a ruse, or has she just gone back to her abuser as many women do?
I think that either that video wasn't real, that abuse video, or they've tried to use that to say that actually it was a PR stunt when it wasn't.
That's sick, eh?
Yeah,
that's really
sick.
That's weird. It makes me a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, it makes me very uncomfortable, and I couldn't believe what I'm reading. And the sad thing is we won't stand for her anymore.
Yeah,
you know, that's the
question is exactly does she feel like a sellout, especially to other women?
Yeah, well, for sure to other women.
You know,
other women definitely look at her as a sellout after the enormous support that came from the South African community. Mm-hmm. And if it was a ruse, which I doubt it was.
I don't believe that it was a ruse at all. I think that it, and it sounds terrible what I'm going to say, but this is possibly to some extent, even further sign of abuse. And I'll tell you why. Is it's almost a pattern of abuse where you do have this abuse and then, the bloke is contrite and apologetic and promises never to do this again and almost wins her back and then kind of creates this, because she's a public figure, creates this thing in public, but it doesn't actually mean that the abuse has ended.
And
if you look at it that way, it makes me very, very nervous because you don't know how the story is going to end.
Oh, me too, Howard. Here's another story that's quite encouraging. 400 organizations have launched a class action against Eskom.
Wow.
I think we should all jump on that bandwagon.
Absolutely right. I'm going to claim for all those cups of coffee that I could not make when I really wanted to have a cup of coffee. All those Netflix movies that I missed because my power was down. Yes, yes. And that's most definitely what I'm going to do. Time is 7:44. Tanya Curry, thank you. So go and have a good weekend. Just go and relax.
Thank you, my dear.
Just chill. And I mean, I know you can only eat at night, but just eat a lot at night. Make sure there's chocolate and ice cream and hot chocolate sauce. And exactly, just hope it's good for you. I hope it's meaningful. And I don't know what happened there. And we will speak to you in next week. Time is 7:44. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem 101.9 High FM. In just